Call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Before we do anything else, we need to pass Resolution 142, 2013, to appoint Ann Kilduff as acting Borough Clerk.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, Ann, you're it. Now, if you'd all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Jewell.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
Donald.
Here.
Connery.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Thompson.
Yes.
Cleveland.
Okay, we don't have any correspondence that I think we need to accept tonight. So that would take us to the minutes of June 5th, 2013, to start off with.
Motion to receive and file.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on these? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'm abstaining.
Who was that? You too?
Yep.
And then the executive session minutes of June 6, 2012, July 3rd, 2012, August 7th, 2012, August 21st, 2012, October 2nd, 2012, December 4th, 2012, December 13th, 2012, and December 18th, 2012.
So moved.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on any of those minutes?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion of the meeting for remarks, petition, statement, and testimony from guests.
Make a motion to close the audience portion.
Second. Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Second.
Ordinance 5-2013, sale of surplus land for public hearing and adoption. We will move that. I'll open up the public hearing.
I'll move that. That's fine.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Jewell.
Yes.
Torres.
Yes.
Connery.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
McDonald.
Yes. Okay. At this point, I'll open up the public hearing on Ordinance 5-2013, authorizing the sale of surplus land.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? And the motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on this?
Yes. Ms. Coben. I had a question. The actual sale price, based on your letter, the actual sale price will be set in the resolution.
That is correct.
Okay.
Still to be decided.
Any questions?
Right.
Exactly.
Would that part be okay?
What?
The parking spaces?
It's all to be negotiated, and that would be put forth in the resolution.
Okay.
Okay, any other discussion? Roll call. I'm sorry.
One other thing. That area was checked because that was given to the town by the fire department, that lot. There's nothing in the current deed, and that'll come up, that the fire department has the first right to purchase because it was theirs and they gave it to the town.
I do not know that because I haven't seen the deed, but we can certainly examine the deed to determine if there is any right of first refusal language in there.
Okay, anything else? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, our reports.
We're looking at receiving file.
Second. Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
I'd just like to say that I'm glad to see that the Board of Health is doing a fantastic job with the Board of Health. And we're getting a regular report. It looks good. I seem to see, though, there's no recreation report again. I'm waiting for that, so I want to be on the record.
Okay. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do we have any committee reports this evening?
There are no committee reports, but I've just seen Mr. and Mrs. Clemko come in. She can get a copy of this report from the engineer, right?
I believe we directed the manager to send it.
Pardon me?
I believe we directed the manager to send her a copy.
Did you get a copy of it? Okay.
Did you want to talk at all? Okay, we had an audience portion ready, I don't know, you have to ask the manager.
Yeah, we can, I'll accept the motion to reopen the audience.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Okay, who moves, who seconded?
I still move it. One second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions. You know the drill, Mrs. Clemko?
I know. Robin Clemko, 35 West Marble Street, Washington. In response to that letter, I talked to Christine about having this engineer come down when we're there to talk with us, because as you read in that report, he states that the erosion is minimal, which is nuts. He said the boulders that are placed there seem to be holding back the erosion. Well, those rocks are not placed there. Those are rocks that used to be in the ground that have now unearthed themselves.
Are you talking about the creek, or are you talking about the sewer?
The creek.
I don't have the creek report.
Oh. That's what I got, was the report.
Yeah, I believe that's what the letter was.
Right.
I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I...
Well, it was regarding...
Yeah, it was the creek erosion in the backyard.
Right, and regards to the sewer and the stream.
Okay.
Right. But he kind of focused more on the erosion in the stream and the influence it has on the sewer, which I don't know who he is, how many times he's seen that. He has not seen it, I don't think, in a rainstorm.
Yeah, this is their first appointment, so I would think it's
exactly
the first time that he's seen it.
Exactly. So, I mean, there are some large rocks, probably that big, but in his perspective, he says they were placed there. They weren't. They've unearthed themselves. And where they are at, it's like there, and the stream is now back to here, and they used to be on the ground. And this is a matter of a 3-year period, so... He's saying that it seems to have slowed down. Well, how can you write in a report it seems to have slowed down when you don't know what it did before? Every time we get a rainstorm, we're losing probably this much of our yard falls into the creek. It's on earth, and down it goes. So he left in the letter that it needs to be the responsibility of the homeowner. But it's not, because it's not us putting that extra water into the stream. Now, on the other aspect regarding the sewer issue, when he made a comment that one has nothing to do with the other, but when your substation's underwater, when the road's underwater, and when your sewer lines get filled up with water, how do you expect the sewer lines to work properly when they're full of water from the creek? So I don't think this guy knows kind of what he was stating.
When did he come see you?
He didn't come see me. All of a sudden, I just got the letter in the mail the one day, so I called Christine about it. This was about a month ago, I guess, I got the letter.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I said, this letter is like, I don't mean this derogatory, but like, he was at another location. Like, he has no idea what he's talking about. So I said, is it a possibility to get him to come back when we're physically there, so we who have lived there for 25 years can talk with him and explain and tell him how things behave and how they act? So Christine advised me to come to the meeting tonight because she said, number one, all the neighbors want to come to a sewer committee, your subcommittee meeting, and we need to know when that's going to be scheduled, to have this engineer there because people would like to speak with him, because we think the proposal that is being worked on to put the sump pumps in there. I mean, you guys listened to the last engineer who said the substation was going to do the job and that it was going to work and all this money was spent, and it doesn't work. And everyone who has heard about what's proposed to be done, this is only a band-aid. This is not going to work either. When it floods, it's going to take the water from the house, but it's going to put it right back into a flooded pipe, and it's going to roll right back to the house again. It's not getting it out in a way. It's not preventing it from coming up to the property.
You're talking about on the surface or into your basement?
The sump pumps that you guys are talking about putting underground.
Pumps.
Yeah.
Right. You have to fix the problem. And the problem is, and I know Bob and I spoke, and you are under the understanding also that the stream has nothing to do with the sewer problem. And it most certainly does. It's probably 70% of your problem down there is that stream.
The So if I'm understanding you correctly, you want to go to the next sewer subcommittee meeting to have the sewer engineer there and possibly take...
And all the neighbors want to come.
Possibly take a road trip to your area to see?
Well, he can come any time before that. It doesn't have to be that night.
Are you the only one who wants to have him at your house? Or do some of the other neighbors want it?
All the neighbors want to come to the subcommittee meeting regarding this fix of the problem.
Okay.
I just said if this is how the borough is going to take a stance and say we're going off this letter, that letter is 350% wrong. He has no clue what he was talking about when he was out there just making an observation on a dry day of what he's seen. He has no understanding of what's going on. Rich has been down there. He has seen it. David, over the years, you've been down there. And if you read this guy's letter, you're like, it's black and white. They're so off, it's not even funny.
Robin, was he down there for the first issue with the erosion, or was he down there for the sewer?
I talked to Christine, she said the engineer's going to come take a look at the stream with the flooding issue and with the erosion. So...
He looked at both, because...
I'm assuming so.
Okay.
The letter I got, basically, and I just got home from work, I literally ran the door, sent him, I was ready, so he, like, came back out the door. So I didn't have time to grab my copy, but I assumed you guys had it, because it was sent from the borough.
Yeah, I have a copy, I don't have it up here with me.
And basically, he didn't talk about the sewer line, he really just talked about the flooding.
That's the question I asked. This is a two-page letter that deals strictly with the sewer. There's nothing in there about your street.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
No, that's not what I...
I have about that later. The one that I received, which is the one that you received, was dealt with just the erosion, pretty much.
Right.
And I was going to ask you if that was any worse, or maybe those boulders came about because of the hurricanes back then.
No.
Over the years, the steady...
Every single time it rains,
This is the edge of my property. Not even my property, all the way down the whole bank of the creek. If this is the edge of the creek, what it does is it underwashes. So you end up with a lip like this, and then what happens is the lip falls off. So you end up by losing every single time, and it can be the slightest rain, because there's no banks to that stream anymore. So what happens is, when it gets into tight places, it just floods and it overrides its bank, and then it causes all this erosion problems.
Okay. But first off, Dave, you're the sewer committee chairman, correct?
Yes.
When do you plan to have your next meeting so that Mrs. Klimko and the neighbors can attend?
Christine contacted me and asked me when we were going to have the meeting. I told her to schedule it, and I would be there.
Okay.
Well, that was when I was down here Friday talking to her, and she said, let me text him right now.
Yep.
To have him set up a meeting. And then she advised me to come to the meeting tonight.
Because I asked her when the engineer would have come.
Because if the stream... We don't believe that these sump pumps are going to do what you're being told that they're going to do. If it's a very bad rainstorm and everything's flooded and sewage is coming into people's houses, sure, it will kick it out, but where's it kicking it out? It's kicking it out from here to here to roll right back into the house again. What's it doing? The borough, not acknowledgingly, wasted money on this first substation and the problem being fixed, and we find out it's not fixed. Now, we don't want to see money being wasted again on something that you just know is not going to be, it's not going to solve the problem. It's just
there
a band-aid.
There is a pump that's already there. There is one of those E1 pumps that's already there at a house.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been working well for the duration that they put it in. Now, in this report right here, he talked about one location with the E1 pump.
Right. But
one.
Right. But where that house is located at, and we know which house you're talking about, where the house is located at, that house doesn't get any flooding from the stream or the sewer. That was put in when the street was ripped up, when the substation was put in. From what we were told by the engineers at the time, there was something wrong with the pipes they put in the ground, so instead of ripping everything back up again, this is what they put in front of that home to correct that problem they found almost at the completion of their job. So it has nothing to do with preventing flooding because she doesn't ever get any water. The water never goes out and holds
back. The issue with that siphon is it was originally designed as a unit to come down. The feeder comes in, it comes down, it comes up, and then rises again on the other side. The issue that it is that they hit bedrock in that stream, and instead of the U, there is a V. And I went back and researched that the design change was approved by the DEP And that right there is causing a lot of problems. Now, we spent another $5,500 for somebody to come tell us that the bee is an issue. Okay, well, yeah, we know it's an issue. What can we do? Can we move that siphon pipe down further where we can make it to you? I don't know. I don't know.
And one of your biggest culprits, it's like trying to put a built-in pool next to a river and not having your pool get river water in it. That's the best scenario I can come up with. If you have this stream, which floods consistently, even on a little rain, because it's so eroded that now, years ago, it didn't flood. I mean, I'm not going back 20 years. I'm going back 4, 5, 6 years ago. It took, like, where half of Washington was flooded. Then, of course, we would get flooded. Now it's just, I mean, you were down just in a regular rain, and Rick saw the flooding that we had down there. It's horrible. Now the problem is it floods into your roads. You have your manhole covers, and guess what happens? In goes the water, and it floods your sewer lines. So, of course, they cannot properly work right when they are flooded. I mean, I don't know if you guys talked to the guys from the sewer plant, because they were out there 2 or 3 weeks ago when they were doing the camera thing, which is like, even they said, why are we putting the camera down here again? There's got to be 5,000 discs on this same problem, and we're cameraing this thing again. But they said, when they take care of the water that's in the stream, half of our problem is when we get rain and we get a problem down at the plant, we're coming up here, opening these up, and they're filled to street level, the sewer lines are.
Right.
And they're getting filled with stream water. So to say that the creek and the sewer have nothing in common, that's not true. They have a lot in common. And that's your biggest problem. So I don't even know what you could do to fix it to alleviate that stream from flooding, back flooding, and backwashing up into your sewer line.
Dave, can you...
It probably should have never been put on that street in the first
place. Gets set.
This report right here, Robin, talks about... He was only supposed to do that in your neck of the woods there, the TV camera, but he went all over town. There are a lot of breaks and cracks and holes in the pipes that feed into that area.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of groundwater that's picked up throughout the town that gets fed in there. I know that Kevin went down there. There was a hole in the creek. There was a hole in a pipe in the creek that when the creek rose after a rain, it might have had to only rise an inch. It was funneling into the sewer system, and that was causing some backup. Kevin went down there, he concreted all around the pipe. Now, I don't know if that's still leaking or what.
But even where your substation is, that's underwater when we get a heavy rain. I mean, not a typical rain, not where it's flooding the streets and coming into your sewer.
I've been down there, I see toilet paper on top of that lid.
Exactly.
I have been down there.
And then even the sewer plant guy said, yeah, our normal place where we should see sewage, we're seeing sewage because it's overflowing. It's coming down through the stream. So you got stream water mixing with sewage and the sewage mixing with the stream. So my opinion is it never should have been put probably down that street in the first place where it's an elevation issue and you have a stream that is going to back it up with water.
All right, I'll call you personally, Robin, when you set the meeting.
And then I think maybe we should have the sewer engineer give Mrs. Klimko a call to set up a time where everybody can meet, and you can show him.
Yeah, because
what it
before
is
we have this
show.
Subcommittee with all before all the neighbors come and have this meeting with him and everyone that's affected down there, I think he really needs to come out and see the site and understand what's going on because he's got it in his head that this is one problem, that's the other problem, and this is the town's problem, and they are not.
Did he say anything about the Army Corps of Engineers?
I didn't talk to him.
Oh.
He was supposed to contact me when he came down. He never did. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the borough from this guy basically saying, and the borough is going to stand behind him and say it's the homeowner's problem, and the borough will have nothing to do with this problem.
I know that the Army Corps of Engineers is responsible for that, for what is it, the Shattucon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that runs under 31 by the
Diner.
Yep.
I
know that the Army Corps of Engineers is responsible for that section. I don't know if they're responsible all the way down.
Now, over the years, David, because of the pollution in there, I've contacted the town, who said mm-hmm. it's the county. The county says it's the state. The state says it's the county. No one wants to claim responsibility for this body of water, but I finally did, after probably 5 or 6 years, got a hold of somebody who said, It is the state waterway, but when it runs through a municipality, it is the municipality's responsibility while it goes through that municipality. So that Shabbaton, if it runs through...
But if to do anything, that we have to get a blessing from everybody.
Right, but if it goes through Broadway, it goes through here, it goes through there, it goes through whoever, it's each one of those separate towns, so they don't own it as it goes through. That's what they told me.
So then they don't own any waterways?
Yes. Who?
Well, it's downtown.
Who?
The state.
That's full of crap. They did to us the Shabbaton on the other side of the sewer plant, classified in the C1 stream. We have nothing to say about it, and that's in our municipality.
Right.
But I...
I mean, what needs to really be done to fix your sewer problem is you need to fix the problem with the stream first. And I know they say you can't alter the natural waterway, the banks of the waterway. Well, you're not altering them, you're putting them back where they were, because they've allowed so much groundwater to be put in there.
That's one of those definitions, depending on which side you're on.
Right.
DEP will argue with you on that.
It might be a good idea to contact the guy from DEP at the same time and get his input.
But over time, you guys, well, not, I don't mean you guys, it's been allowed for so much groundwater to be put into that waterway that that's what's causing all this erosion. Because after it's done raining, you can stand there and hear it coming like a tidal wave. Because it's once all the water starts running off of every place, like Washington Square with the retention pond, when that gets overflowed and all the water that comes off there, that runs right in the Shabbaton, and you can hear it coming down. You can stand there and just watch it, and you can watch it come like a tidal wave, and up it comes. So in order to fix your sewer problem properly, you might as well not even waste any money till you address the problem with stream, and it's not just behind my house, it's up a ways. Christine Wachkovy, or whatever you say her last name. Now, her house, I don't know when it was done, but she's got actually a wall up in her yard to prevent that stream from overflowing. I think it's been there for a very, very, very long time. That's the only place that I know, except on Broad Street, where there is actually a stone wall to hold that back. That's almost what needs to be done to keep that water within, to stop it from rolling into the street and rolling up into your sewer line, and then you can fix your sewer.
Even that eroding too. That's part of the wall on South Lincoln too. That's really bad over there.
Right.
Starting to erode back and see too.
Here's what I'm going to do, Robin. I'm going to contact the Army Corps of Engineers. I'm going to contact the Highlands and the DEP to find out who's responsible for that. Hopefully by the time we have the meeting, I'll have an answer from somebody. We are in the planning area of the Highlands, right? And that the Highlands Act was established to protect water?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe they're, I'm just throwing this out. I personally believe it's the Army Corps of Engineers. If they're responsible for what runs by the diner and what runs over there by Bruce Brothers down through that area down there, I think that they would do that, but I'll contact all three of them to find out. And when I set the date for the meeting, we will do a field trip. We'll meet out there before we come back here to discuss it, and I'll let you know exactly when we're going to be there so we can be there. All right? Fair enough?
We'll be there.
I think to add to that, I know not too long ago, they had a hazmat call.
I called them.
Yeah.
We've had two.
It was an unseen amount of PPM, I guess, as far as it was a fuel, or gasoline, I think. I didn't go to the actual
call. No, this
call.
Was white. This looked like somebody literally took
white
paint.
They had one with gasoline, actually.
That was a little bit before that.
Yeah.
That was
go
oil.
Go to that.
Well, no, we had oil,
okay.
Then there was gas, but that wasn't in the stream.
Yeah.
That was actually in the sewer line.
Yeah, I talked to Tom Miner about that.
And Schaefer smelled it in her house, and they got it in the sewer line. Somehow it got into the sewer line.
Yeah, I spoke
in
to
that alleyway,
the
but that was never in the stream. We had oil coming down the stream, and then we just had recently, it looked like somebody took cans of white paint and opened it up, and it was like a stretch, probably, I don't know, maybe as long as this building, that just kind of came down, and it was real heavy, and it just kind of stuck. Because by the time they got to my house to go look at it, to take a sample, it was all the way down by Mill Pond, and they ended up by getting a sample down by Mill Pond.
Mm. Did you ever get the outcome of that?
They're not going to tell me. I don't know if they did. They took a sample, but I don't know. I would assume they would have turned it over to the borough, because Christine said she knew that they were out there.
As to
what it was.
Gone to the township.
Township.
Yeah, but they were trying to track it back to see
where
it was coming from, if someone was dumping something into the stream.
Mm.
But by the time they got there and by the time they messed around, Right, it had moved downstream, so there was no way for them to go walk. They did, they drove up, the cops drove up too, but it had already dissipated, so they couldn't find its place of origin where it started from, so. But they were going to take a sample to see if, like, maybe it's coming from Wyandotte, they had dumped something in there, whatever have you, but we don't know.
It was a good time.
I'm home every Friday.
Every Friday?
Yep. Every Saturday, Sunday.
No, not every Saturday, Sunday.
Not even like a weekend?
No, we're not going to pay that guy.
Over the weekend, yeah, right.
No, I'm home every Friday.
Friday's good for you?
Yes, let me know what Friday it is.
I like what kind of time frame you're talking about here.
The sooner the better. Four?
That works, I could be here at four.
Huh?
That works, I could be here at four, just let me know what day it is.
No, but I mean, like, soon, like, another week or two?
Oh, yeah, it would be within.
About before that even, yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak during the second audience portion? All right.
Good evening.
If you would state your name and address for the record, please, ma'am.
Reverend Tara Lisa Byrne Bachnay, 95 Lenape Trail, Washington, New Jersey.
Thank you, ma'am.
Welcome. I'm here because of a couple of questions. The one main question is dealing with, again, North Lincoln Avenue.
What's that area of North Lincoln?
North Lincoln, the upper end.
By the
right
AME Church?
By the AME Church.
Okay.
Recent paving, and the question is, again, it stopped right before the library. And North Lincoln is still very, very lumpy. In fact, it seems to be getting worse. And in addition to that, the other question, besides, is there anything in the works for that? The other piece is, regularly, we now have a host of items from beer cans to condom wrappers and anything else that can be left in the church parking lot. So we are out there regularly cleaning up the church parking lot. Especially after the recent 4th of July fireworks. It's not just the bottles and the cans and the other items. It's people parking in the parking lot and on the grass and then walking through or coming back down the street and cutting through people's yards. And the question is anything being looked at to address what's going on at the upper end of North Lincoln Avenue?
Well, first off, we'll deal with the streets area. We had so many dollars that we could spend on it. And, you know, I can let the street committee, just I guess you're the chair of that,
yeah,
go as to how they chose what areas to go and what areas may be next.
Right. We sat down with myself, Mr. Thompson, Mr. Higgins, the road department supervisor and his assistant, and the manager. And I actually had a list given to me from my predecessor, which was a councilman who was a streets committee chairman as well, and from a list of good to bad roads, which ranging from roads that were surface were good to spidering to deteriorating. So we went ahead and we actually broke it down and chose from that list because we actually were able to pay in cash rather than bond money this time, which is good. So we had enough to do. I guess it was approximately 2 miles, maybe just under that. So we did the roads are a little more heavily traveled and we tried to concentrate on them. But there is some more for possibly next year in the works. We're going to try to spread that out, maybe do like Flower Avenue, that section of town, possibly do a few roads around the center section of town. So we're looking at it right now. We got a lot of positive feedback from a lot of the residents. Very excited to see some roads actually getting paved, the infrastructure getting repaired, which is good. But yes, we are looking into that.
Yeah, that other section of North Lincoln that I get on that every once in a while. And
that goes to the dead end there, the stub, a little dirt stub, I think.
Right,
that
cuts over.
But
back
a lot of people
hour.
Use it because of the
yep.
library.
Yes.
So actually,
yes.
It's kind of an important.
It is traveled a lot, and it is. There are parts now where it was just a slight bump, where now you literally dip.
Yes. Yeah, it's
and really
are they potholes that you're talking about, or just
it's
the road
sinking.
Is sinking?
It's going to sink in sections.
Sink.
And then, as you said, when people come to cross at the back end, mm-hmm. they're not traveling slow. They're moving. They think that you can come to that end of the street and they pick up speed. Mm-hmm. Especially
the
if they're traveling in pickups.
Unfortunately.
I don't even know if that is authorized. It's roadway.
The dirt section area? Yes,
there's a sign posted there as you travel at your own risk.
Travel at
your
own risk.
Dirt
area.
You know, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I made a mistake.
Travel
should actually see that rest right there, and I overlooked that, and that was partially my fault. But we are compiling a list, so.
At least from Carlton to that,
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe we could have the road department take a look and see if they can smooth it a little bit for the time being, you know, take a look at the dips and things that are going on. As far as your next issue, garbage and things in the parking lot, the people walking through the yard, is that a regular occurrence, or was that just a 4th of July?
4th of July, if there's any events or activities anywhere in that area.
Do you find it for any sports that are going on in the middle field? Okay, so it's not just 4th of July, it could be any activity at the middle school.
Contact the school and see if they can put like a fence up in the back there?
You know, people will climb the fence, I've seen that through my yard.
No, one of those wire fences, maybe,
It depends, it's not going to come on, you know, with weak preferences too, I don't know if you want a fence in your backyard, you know.
I mean, I think that would be something that the church could look into.
Right, yeah.
My concern though is that the responsibility of the trash constantly being in there, we're responsible for cleaning it up.
Right.
But if we put any kind of,
Container?
Not a container, but if you put the poles and then run.
Oh, you're talking like a chain?
A chain.
Chain it up.
Does that propose a problem? Would we have to bring that before the council, if we decide to do that?
At most, you would have to go before the planning board, I think.
Mrs. Cope.
Hi.
Give us your idea on that. It's private property.
Okay.
And it's not a fence.
But I am not, without having in front of me, familiar with your zoning ordinances, which is what you would have to take a look at to see if there was any prohibition about putting up any kind of fence or barrier of that kind for which you might need a permit, or depending upon the zone that you're in, whether you would need any kind of variance to do that. I don't know that, but certainly the you can take a look at the borough's ordinances. Their code book is online.
Okay,
you just
that was
go to
my
the borough's
next question.
Website.
Okay.
Or contact the planning board and Board of Adjustment Secretary, Pat Titus. I believe you can find her name and number online also. She might be able to.
Yeah, she might be able to give you some more specific direction.
Yeah, I'm sure she's dealt with something like that before.
The fancy, yeah, you'd have to, Scott's right, you'd have to go before the planning board.
But if it's all on her property, it might just be a simple permit, too.
Yeah,
it might be a permit.
Which could be, Pat can probably give you that information better than anybody here can.
But the good thing, too, is that we just recently hired a code enforcement officer who's now very active, and he's hopefully going to be, you know, looking in that area as well, in terms of garbage and maybe citing some people, if, you know.
Yeah, he'll cite the church for having it.
Is it after certain hours that this is? You can come in, we can come in on Sunday morning before worship and find it, and then you can come again for Wednesday Bible study and find it. Someone might be passing by or go over to collect the mail during the week. Now that it's summertime, it definitely increases.
It's more like a hangout area, like?
Seems like it.
Do you have a light in the parking lot?
There's a light that shines off the side of the building. And literally lights up that whole back corner.
Yes,
they should. The police should go over there.
Should be regular patrols. Yeah, the next thing would have the police, just ask them to patrol there. Patrol it a little bit more often. We can do that. And if you just got to ask Christine to take care of that. Or you can take care of that. When you see him tomorrow morning.
I'll do that one. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else from the audience? Accept the motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution 140, 2013, retention of a tax certificate.
Second.
Any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. I'm going to move Resolution 144, 2013 up, the awarding of a bid for the two air conditioning units for the fire hall.
Well, that should say Borough Hall.
It says Washington Borough Fire Hall on the resolution. I guess it's going to be one of you two to move and second it, since they can't.
Fine, I'll move it.
Hold up here, I got a question.
before that's even discussed. If we ask, if we have to abstain, parliamentary procedure, there's only three votes. Three abstention and three votes, does it pass?
Oh, let me go back a second on that. I sent you an email today because you had asked me at the last meeting whether you were precluded from voting on fire matters since you were no longer an active member of the fire department. And the email, I don't know if you had an opportunity to look at it yet. What I concluded after looking at the case law was that there are situations where you can have an interest in something without being precluded from voting on the matter. And that the case law says that you can vote if you're no longer active, if you don't pay dues or anything of that nature, if you don't make significant monetary contributions, and if you don't attend meetings. And if that is the case, I concluded that you were able to vote on fire department matters, so maybe we don't have to get to the second part of that question.
If you're a life member, you can't.
I can't?
No, you're a life member. Yeah, he's a life member of the fire department, you can't.
Life member of the Leaf and Redemptive Association.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Leaf, life member of Leaf, the Redemptive Association and the exempt association of the fire department, which has, it's two different.
I haven't looked at the particular structure of the fire department in terms of that, but I would say if you are classified as a life member, because the other part of the test is whether there would be a reasonable belief that you had a special affinity for an organization. And my advice in that case would be that you should probably, for your own protection as well as the borough's, refrain from voting in that case.
Okay, then same thing with squad did. You guys just came life member there. So I'd be staying there too then.
Okay, I mean, Dave's original point is interesting in that it is for the fire, it is for the borough hall. The fire department just happens to have a lease on that section of it.
So
this is the air conditioning unit for the borough hall.
Right.
In which case, I think you can vote anyway, because I think that that's,
it should be for discussion anyway.
But it's in the same realm with the gang doors that just took place. It was for the borough hall, not for the fire department.
Right.
Yeah,
sure,
I think that is a benefit
me
for the borough.
Mentioned it, that you have to
have upkeep to your building, and
Is this open for discussion now?
Yeah, we have the motion and the second.
Okay,
no,
fine.
They made it, and then you discussed it.
Right, fine. Yeah. Well, can I make an adjustment to this, and we'll exclude the word fire from the ordinance?
I think there's no problem with that.
That'll be
okay.
Everybody can vote.
Everybody's okay with that? Done. Okay, any other discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, fire prevention ordinance discussion.
Okay.
Torres, you're up.
Thank you. This is the original fire code ordinance had to be changed. Our fire official came before our committee about 8 months ago, and he said he wanted to make some changes. Our committee met and decided to investigate this further with him. So on several meetings, probably over time, this took three meetings, including the fire official, as well as he brought in another fire official from another municipality as well. But this delay on this particular ordinance came about because there was changes that had to be made, and then, of course, after the official looked at it, the manager had looked at it, and she had changes that she wanted him to make. So we just got it back recently. So now it is finally finished in a finished form. We reviewed it again this past week in our committee meeting. We made some final adjustments to it. The only additions for Judy's information would be the definitions were added. So, Scott, can you share your copy with her?
I have a copy.
You do? Okay. Okay. So basically, that was the most substantive change that we made. The fire code official was hesitant to break the application for a permit into four different categories. And we decided in our committee that it was more beneficial to small businesses to have square footage, you know, another category set up for smaller commercial establishments, you know. So we added that in as well. And of course, he was in favor of that finally as well, too. There was a question that came up in our recent discussion because our current fire official happens to be moving. So there was a discussion as to whether or not there should be a residency requirement for the fire official. And we decided that as long as the manager felt that this person could commute back and forth with no problem, it's different than, of course, it's not like a fire department member, a firefighter. This person happens to be a firefighter as well, but of course, I believe that he would have to, you know, stop working in the fire department. But he can still be the code enforcement, you know, the official, fire official. So, of course, the manager felt that, you know, where he's moving is, you know, it's less than an hour or so, you know, probably about half an hour's drive or something, so it should be no problem. But I did want to just bring that up because we can always add in under the requirements for residency. But other than that, I think that, you know, this pretty much has what he wanted. He wanted to have good key box access, smoke detectors added in, fire zones established. And we have all those things. The other thing would be on Article 5, which was changed just recently in our committee. We added in number 5, which is the second to the last page under 42-38 Fire Watch, when required. We put in number 5, the fire official marshal shall order a fire watch each 4th of July at location at and surrounding the Washington Celebrates America annual event. There shall be no payment required for such a fire watch for this event, as such services are to be donated and volunteers are to be utilized. So we did add that as well. But other than that, I think that this is, you know, in very good shape and it's ready to go forward for the council to...
The only thing I might add to that is,
yeah,
as long as the fireworks are done in the borough, there was one year it was done at the college, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
The renovations at the school.
Yeah, for that reason.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I don't know if we want our fire official doing a fire watch outside of our borders. That's probably the only change that I could see
mm-hmm.
in the whole thing that I would like. Dave, you have something you want to add?
Yeah. On 42.9, it is of the fire, and I'm going to get back to that 42.38.
Okay.
Number 9. The fire call the alarm within the borough, Washington, and assist the chief officers with incident command and their and or interior fire attacks investigations. The fire chief is the incident commander.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, here's what I mean, in this certain circumstance that you're talking about, the fire official is a member of the borough fire department.
Right.
If, in fact, you get somebody who is not a member of the borough fire department, they're not going to be familiar. They're not going to train with us. I do not want. I wouldn't want anybody telling me how to run an incident
mm-hmm.
command, and I would definitely not want them inside a burning building if they have never trained with us.
Good point.
So, you know, that right there, I think respond to calls and investigate, that's fine. Assist with the chief with incident command and interior attacks, no way.
Well, does everybody else feel the same way? I mean, I would be in favor of eliminating
yeah,
just that phrase.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It is a good point.
You're absolutely right. I think that should
just be eliminated.
See, when this was proposed to us, too, as I had said, this was a very recent event. We just found out right before we had our Coburg meeting this past week that this fire official is moving. So this really, you know, he was...
It actually has nothing to do with the guy
you're right.
who's the fire official
exactly.
now because he is a member of the fire department.
Sure.
So if he wants to go in a burning building, he can.
Yes.
But future guys.
Future
exactly.
guys, exactly.
Future.
Sure.
So the same thing for him appointing fire watches of, what was it, 4238?
Mm-hmm. The fire watch may be worked by the fire marshal, official slash marshal, the fire chief, or the assigned designee.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the assigned designee?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the assigned designee going to be? And
that's up to the fire official. That's in the state, you know.
This is what I'm saying here.
Code.
If there is, if there's fireworks in the borough, the fire department is going to be there, and the chief, who has gone through incident command, will know where to post everybody. So I think that, you know, fire watches can be ordered by the official, but they're placed and whatever at the fire chief or assigned designee.
Well,
assistant chief, i.e. a member of the
Dave,
fire.
Dave, I think that this is, no matter what, the chief is always going to be in charge of any fire official. I mean, that's the chief is the borough's.
The chief is in charge of the incident. He's the incident commander.
Right.
And that's federal. If there is a fire, the fire chief is in charge. It doesn't matter how many cops you have there. It doesn't matter if you have the governor there. It doesn't matter. The fire chief is in charge.
Right.
He's responsible.
So, I mean, when the plane went into the Pentagon, the fire chief would not let the FBI or the CIA or whoever into that building for 3 days. It was his command.
Yeah. Well, the only reason that this is worded like this is because it's in the state administrative code, and it does say right here under number one that it's ordered by the fire official slash marshal or the fire chief. So in other words, it's basically in absence of the chief, then the fire official can order the watch. It's
but
basically like that.
You're missing the whole point.
What is
there is a certain amount of schooling that a fire official has to go through. Correct me if I'm wrong. Just because you go through that class does not necessarily mean that you have gone through firefighter one.
No. You have to have a minimum of, I believe it's 3 years.
It's right on the first page here.
Firefighter.
Right here, 42.6.
But there is nothing in the fire inspectors or fire officials certification for incident command.
Right. So, see the whole incident command thing?
Well, there is incident command level 2, right here it says. It says current, it says the following qualifications.
Okay.
As long as you got ICS 2,
okay.
NIM certification, which is brand new.
But if it's somebody from not within inside this town, they shouldn't be in charge. Because
well,
they
still have to answer to the chief, no matter what. So if the fire chief says, no, we don't want to watch there, then that's it. You know what I mean? I mean, no matter what, this official is still going to be subordinate to the fire chief.
Would you say that?
It's the state
law. Can I say one thing? As a fire inspector here in the borough, temporarily, the fire official was out of disability. I assumed that position. I called for a fire watch. Fire watch consists of all Firefighter 1 certified individuals. I had a piece of our equipment and our firefighters there, and I billed, as the fire inspector official at the time, the property owner for the cost of the services.
Where did that money go?
To the fire department.
I understand. Okay.
Because it was all their manpower and equipment. The manpower was all the firefighters that responded for the fire watch, that was 6 hours, gave back, well, refused to accept any money for it because they saw the need for it and the potential of extreme hazardous conditions.
Is there a
state-level
fire agency that could give an opinion on this? As to, you know, whether the fire official and all this is to, you know, versus state code and things like that, to see if there's any issues or problems
it's
with it?
It's the Department of Community Affairs. It's the Division of
Fire and Safety.
Fire Safety. So it would be
perhaps you should ask them for an opinion as to this wording, as to they...
We did. That's what we got most of this.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like from the state, pretty much. That's what I said. A lot of this is right from the state statute, which is done by this office, which is...
Division of Fire Safety.
State Fire Safety Commission, I guess it's called.
Even says it right here, Division of Fire Safety.
Yeah.
Any comments, Ms. Coffin?
I know this language does come from the administrative code. I think specifically as to that section 42-38, I see Mr. Higgins' point as to if there is any conflict between what the fire official may want to do versus what the fire chief may want to do. I don't know that that is addressed in this proposed ordinance, and I'm not sure how that's addressed in the code because I didn't look at that particular issue. So I think that, you know, we could certainly take a look to see if there is a clear statement in the state administrative code as to if you have a fire official or fire chief, if the fire chief gets to essentially call the shots if they have a disagreement.
Which is kind of what I was thinking.
Is that what you're...
Put something in there that the fire chief supersedes the fire official.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly can do that.
I think that that certainly is possible.
That's what's understood. I mean, it's not explicit language, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. But the language in number 9, 42-6, is going to be changed, right?
42-6?
I'm sorry, 42-9. Number 9,
yeah.
That's going to be changed.
42-9, yes.
But you have those notes, right, Rob?
Yep. Yeah, I scratched it.
Oh, I have your change on 42-9. You want to say response to calls of alarm within the borough and investigates calls of alarm within the borough, period.
Is there any other discussion on this?
And also the change to the July 4th that you had brought up, too?
Yeah.
Yep, I have that, too, as long as it's within the borough of Washington.
Yep.
Okay, so we can go forward with this for the next meeting? Should everything be taken care of?
Certainly.
That takes us to our vouchers.
Motion to pay the bills.
Second. Okay, any discussion on any of the bills?
Yes, there is. Yes. Where was that at?
What's that?
The fence.
Oh, let me look it up.
Oh, the recreation fence?
Yes.
I'm sorry. What page is it? Page 10 or number 14?
10 or 14. It looks like it's the second one down.
Grant and fencing 1304.
Yes.
And what about it?
Okay, was it a couple months ago? On the 4th, the 7th, through 5-7, you always had the bill for the same thing, for fencing.
Did we pull that one because of some questions?
I don't know, but...
Remember I'm asking about the sides. Were the sides done properly, I think? I don't know if that was...
Yeah.
Why we pulled it.
We got an answer.
We had stopped it to make sure that it was completed.
Right, the sides were not...
Right.
Yeah, but we never got an answer on it.
Well, yeah, we're waiting for the risk manager to come look.
So that's why.
So this is 2 months ago.
Stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
May.
Okay.
With May.
So shall we
17th through
pull that one pending the satisfaction to the manager of the manager on completion?
Mm-hmm. Well, we figured the bar up in the top.
Yeah.
And then never got an answer from
the risk manager.
Risk manager.
Or that was.
Acceptable or not.
Okay. Also, the amount is different, right? The map's different? Do we,
no, it's the same.
No, they changed their name.
The map comes out the same.
Did that have something to do, I remember, but just correct me if I'm wrong, had something to do with those chairs, too, for the pool?
That was something different. It was only the completion of the fence.
This was under capital. Okay, that's right.
Okay.
I have something.
Go ahead, Rob.
And I was trying to get a hold of Christine, but I wasn't able to. But it looks like the folding machine rental on page one is also on page two. It's, it looks like it's the same PO number, and yet I don't know if it's charged in two different accounts. I don't know how these sheets
exactly work. Yeah, that's usually what it is. What's the other page number you said?
It's on two. It's for $255, folding machine rental. Oh, okay, wait a minute, tax. Okay, but it's the same amount. It's just confusing. It says general administration, $255, tax, $255. So I don't know if that's a mistake or not, but I wanted to bring that to Christine's attention because it's the same amount. It doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that's probably just going in between the two offices. Mm-hmm. It's split between them. But we can have the manager check on that.
Yeah,
and,
please.
You know, pay it pending her approval.
Okay, and I have another question. One more.
It's Pitney Bowes, 2618338, JN13. Okay. Was your other one, Rob?
Page 8.
Page 8.
The first item. It's for utilities, and it looks like this was for a recreation park, 66 gallons of gas. That seems like just a lot for one period. So I'm just questioning, I mean, because they're just using gasoline for lawnmowers, right?
1,000.
I mean, I don't understand why 66 gallons.
I believe they have a pickup truck that they use also.
1,276
The Recreation Trust does?
No.
Not that I know of.
That truck, what's the weight of?
Well, that's all the utilities, the 1,200.
Right.
That's the gas for the code enforcement vehicle, diesel for the DPW
vehicles.
Fire department.
It's different vehicles.
Where is it say different vehicle?
Thought on page 7.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so then, okay.
All right. Total. Okay.
That's the total.
Continue.
All right. See, so these sheets are just confusing. That's all. But it looks like it's 66 gallons of
it
gasoline
does.
For the park, which was, I guess,
$205. Mm.
All right.
But that's the total of the gallons.
Got it. Okay. All right. So that's it, I think, for now.
Okay, anything else? Roll call, please.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Jewell?
Yes, with the exception of the squad fire department bills.
Okay, Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Mr. Connery?
Yes.
Mr. Thompson?
Everything fire company and squad.
And Mr. McDonald?
Yes. Do you have anything on your recap list, Ms. Kilgore?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
Manager Blanchard will check the engineer's schedule and then schedule a subcommittee meeting with sewer subcommittee. Once that's set, Mr. Higgins will advise Mrs. Klemko of the date. Ms. Blanchard will ask the sewer engineer to schedule a time with Ms. Klemko to see the site prior to the subcommittee meeting, and the subcommittee will also visit the site prior to the meeting. Mr. Higgins will contact the Army Corps of Engineers, Highland, and DEP. Manager Blanchard will ask the road department to look at the conditions of Upper North Lincoln Avenue, and I'll speak to Deputy Chief Cicero about having the police patrol Upper North Lincoln, specifically by the church.
Good, thank you. Council remarks. Mr. Thompson.
Nothing. Have a safe summer and healthy.
Okay. Mr. Jewell.
Yep, I have a letter I wanted to read here. Here, Mayor McDonald, Council, and Manager Blanchard, and Mrs. Kildoff. With this letter, I'd like to hereby submit my resignation as Councilman of Washington Borough, effective at the conclusion of the August 20, 2013 meeting. My resignation from Council was not due to lack of interest in the Borough and its residents. Rather, life has taken me on a different path, and I will no longer be a resident of the Borough. Since being elected to Council, I have taken great pride in Washington Borough's success and economic growth. I wholeheartedly wish that the borough continues to be a place of progress and has a clear sense of community. I wish Mayor McDonald, my fellow councilmen and councilwomen, Manager Blanchard, all the best in the future. If I could be of assistance during this transition, please feel free to contact me. Respectfully, Justin P. Jewell, Councilman, Washington Borough.
Okay. Have you submitted a copy of that letter to Ms. Blanchard?
I will.
Okay. Thank you very much. And what was that, August?
August, the conclusion of the August 2013 meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your efforts on behalf of the borough.
Thank you.
Mr. Higgins.
Well, I would just like to say I'm taken aback by that statement.
Thanks.
Okay.
Two questions, and I know they can't be answered right now.
Okay.
The building downtown, maybe you have some information on that.
Which one?
What is it, 16 East Washington?
Next to Frantoni's?
Yes. The one that's open, you know, with the...
Yeah, in order to put a new facade on that building, it's my understanding, according to the redevelopment act that we have, that they have to go before the planning board. They have submitted a basic design to Ms. Blanchard. I haven't seen it personally. We want something that's a little more detailed as to what they're going to do, but I believe the planning board has to approve it before they can install it.
Yeah, because it's in the redevelopment zone.
All right, well, I understand all that, but the only thing that's there is a blue tarp.
And probably will be until the planning board does the approvals. That kind of took us all by surprise.
Really? Yeah. You're saying that
like a nice one?
Government at its finest, huh?
Like a nice one?
Yeah, it is. And it's a safety issue. With that being open like that?
The weather's getting through.
Well, I'm not even saying the weather. If I was a kid back then, I'd climb that scaffolding, I'd scale that building, we'd be doing all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying.
A nuisance.
If I was a kid, I probably would.
Any other questions, sir?
Yes. I had the opportunity to go throw some trash in that dumpster down at the DPW garage.
Metal trash. Be more specific, if you don't want to say trash.
Metal trash. Metal.
Recycling metal.
And this is the second dumpster that's almost full.
Good, that's awesome. It's about a quarter full when I was last there.
Oh, well, it's pretty good. But anyway, while I was down there, I noticed the mounds and mounds of millings. Road millings. Hmm? Road millings. You know when they did all those here, scraped everything
I thought they
up?
Took it down to recycle.
No. There are mounds and mounds of millings that are down there. I asked what was going to be done with them. And I don't know if we're responsible for getting rid of them or not. But my solution to that is that we get a bulldozer. And we spread those millings down there at the road department garage.
I thought that was the plan.
Really? I didn't know that.
I seem to remember hearing something about that. I can't swear to it.
All right. Well, listen, now is the best time to do that. And I'll tell you why. Because that it's still moist from when and it will set in the heat. If you wait until it cools down,
becomes a rock.
It's going to be useless. Yeah. And then, you know, I don't know if that's considered hazardous material.
Can you remelt that to use it for asphalt again or not?
No.
It's a pretty in-depth process.
It is. It's got to be all cleaned the whole 9 yards. But that would be a good base for the blacktop.
Yeah.
Because it would fit. They could spread it, they could roll it, and it would be just like blacktop. Mm-hmm. Only probably not as smooth. But then when we're ready to blacktop down there, that is a great base. That's probably the best base you can have. The way blacktop over.
Why don't you send Christina an email about that?
Okay.
And
Is she going to be checking her emails while she's on vacation?
Yeah.
I'll tell her too. I'll ask her too.
Well, she was just going to go. I think she was bringing her child to the airport.
Yeah, she did plan here to be here, but they had changed plans. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No.
Mrs. Conrad.
Justin, I wish you the best.
Thank you.
That's all I have for time.
Mr. Torres.
Well, ditto on that, Justin.
Thank you.
So, I mean, we're all kind of astonished, but it's, I guess, you know, congratulations.
Thank
of course,
you.
It's extended, too, from your,
thank you,
you know, recent wedding and, you know, moving.
It's been a pleasure serving with you guys and ladies.
So
thank you.
That's cool. But sorry to have you go. But anyway, I did, there's one other thing I did want to have ready for this time, but I couldn't get in touch with the people in charge. I just want to bring up, I don't know if everybody's aware, but the mayor of Opakon, I guess, wanted to start up a county league of municipalities. So I had, you know, thought that it would be, you know, proper for us to have a resolution to join that as well, to get that we're in the county. So I'll have it ready for next time.
Is there going to be a cost for joining that league?
I don't believe so.
I believe in the past there has been.
I'll find out.
And there's been, I know the dinners that they've had have been paid for by the municipalities also. And that's usually how they did it. But I'd be interested to see how everything comes out.
Okay.
I have nothing. So I would accept a motion on Resolution 143-2013 for an executive session for litigation and contract negotiations after a 10-minute break.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay, yeah, I'll get you a copy. Yep, I'll get you one.
Again, thank you.
Thank you.
Again.
Okay.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions?
Oops.
Yay.
The thing was...